And now, on with the show.
Welcome, everybody. We're here once again for Weekend Watch. I am your host, Spencer. I'm here with David.
That's me.
Hey, and Keith is back.
Oh, hey.
Keith, I'm happy to have you back. It's always a pleasure to have Jonathan join us, but, you know, we missed you.
Yeah, I missed you guys, too. I mean, I miss Costa Rica now, but I missed you guys a bit while I was gone.
I get that. I would miss me also.
I would be very much happy to be away from me.
Oh, man. Well, with that, we're going to jump right in. We don't have much of a theme, but, you know, Halloween's coming up, so we got some requisite spooky picks all month. Why don't we just dive right in? Why don't I go first with a bit of a spooky pick?
We're starting with the spooks.
A little bit of a spook, kind of a thriller more than it is a horror movie, but it's fun. Check it out. It's called Villains. Villains is about a pair of amateur criminals who attempt to break into a house when their car breaks down. They soon realize they're in over their heads when they discover that the homeowners are harboring a dark secret. It's a bit of a short synopsis, but yeah, that's basically what it's about. This is a movie that stars essentially four characters for the whole movie. It feels nice and claustrophobic. It all takes place in this house. And it's about these criminals who think that they're going to break into this house, commit a robbery. And it turns out that they really, really, really picked the wrong house. This older couple played by Jeffrey Donovan and Kira Sedgwick make for an absolutely unsettling, terrifying ride. This movie's quite a ride. I don't want to go too far into it. Don't want to give away too many spoilers. Keith, you watched the whole thing, yeah?
I did. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a blast. Bill Skarsgård is a joy to watch throughout this entire film. He's great. I love watching Bill Skarsgård anytime. Jeffrey Donovan had the perfect draw to be just creepy. And man, Kira Sedgwick is phenomenal throughout this entire film. Loved her. This was a great, great piece for every single actor that was in it. The story was a lot of fun and a little spooky. Like, not overly spooky, but a little spooky. I liked it.
It's got a pretty foreboding atmosphere. Jeffrey Donovan from like minute one has this just creepiness about him.
Creeper.
For a long time, I really thought it was Johnny Depp. He's really got a Johnny Depp look.
He kind of did. And I don't know. I really liked his accent. I liked the draw that he had going on. It was great.
Just kind of, yeah, they did the, man, just like, I don't even know how to describe it. That like creepy, proper Georgia drawl.
Yeah.
Like to the point it was done so well that it's unsettling. Everything about this movie is unsettling. Kind of a mystery, kind of a thriller.
Kind of goofy too, and I liked that vibe, especially like near the beginning. This younger couple just has such a, even in the face of like some shitty things, they got this like just goofiness about them, and I loved it. They did great. I don't know this Micah Monroe. What else has she been in? Do you know?
I don't know actually.
She's vaguely familiar, but I don't really know her that well, and I liked her a lot.
Oh, she was in It Follows. That's where I knew her from. What else? No, that's not one I know her from. I don't know, nothing else is sticking out except for It Follows.
But I loved her character too. She was a lot of fun. She was bubbly and wacky, and I thought it was great.
She kind of looks like what's her name from Mean Girls.
I'm
way off on my actors today.
Ryan Reynolds' wife, what's her name?
Oh, Blake Lively?
Yeah, kind of has a Blake Lively look to her.
I have a bit of a curious observation.
Amanda Seyfried, that's where I was going. Go ahead, David, okay. I want to hear it.
Skarsgård, what's his name? Bill Skarsgård?
Bill Skarsgård, yeah.
Is not credited in the cast when you look at it on Google.
Weird.
He's just not there.
Google does some really weird things where they like it's all algorithm. It's all pulling from like Wikipedia and IMDb and stuff.
It's just like
it pulls weird stuff sometimes and leaves out some important things. It's odd.
Yeah, that's fair. There are
some pretty glaring things you need to fix about this algorithm, this spider that you've got going here, Google.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Get on it. I'm sure the Google execs are tuned in right now. Fix your shit.
Oh, they listen. They're fans.
Why wouldn't they be?
Yeah, that's why I'm telling them, fix your shit for us.
If they're not listening, their algorithm sure as fuck is.
So check it out. It's Villains. It's on Hulu. If you want something creepy, something a bit thrilling, a little bit of a mystery, it's fun. Check it out. Why don't we go to somebody else next? Keith?
Yeah, I'll go. I got kind of a creepy, kind of thrillery movie as well. It's not like super spooky, but man, it's got an edge to it. This is the two that, I mean, we've been kind of on a South Korea kick as well. So this is another reason why I picked this. I was sad I didn't get to talk with you guys about Squid Game because I fucking loved Squid Game. It was incredible. I'm glad you guys did talk about it though, because you had to do it at the time you did, because everybody's watching it. Great show. Everything good is coming out of South Korea. I love it. This one is Parasite 2019. It is streaming, I think, maybe also on Hulu. And I love this film. It's really, really good. It's about this family that's kind of down on their luck. Can't really land a job. The kids are out of school, trying to make ends meet. And the son finally lands a job with this rich family where he's tutoring, and they end up weaseling their way in to get like the entire family working. And then there's just some twists and dives that this movie takes that, I mean, I think even saying there's a twist is somewhat of a spoiler, but it's not going to spoil this movie. You don't know what's coming for you if you haven't seen it. It just starts doing stuff that is crazy, and it works so well. Like, I love the flow of this film. I love the characters. I love how it was written. I love the color palette. This is an amazing movie. And it's got a little bit of a thrillery spooky edge to it that I also really like.
That's for sure.
One, right, Spence? Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of times now I was really excited to rewatch it, because man, I watched it when it first came out, and rewatching it was really nice. I picked up a little bit more. It always strikes me, this is a movie that gets mentioned a lot as being a horror movie, and I don't understand that. A thriller, yeah, definitely. Yeah. A bit of a thriller, but to me, mostly, it is a pitch black dark comedy.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It's probably one of the darkest comedies I've ever watched, in my opinion.
I kind of often see psychological thrillers thrown into the horror category, and I don't know how much I agree with that.
You know, it depends. I don't like it when people get way too specific with their genres.
Yeah.
And like arguing about, is this thriller also a horror? Are they separate? Blah, blah, blah. I find it's boring and useless, but
we need
sometimes something is so much different from what it gets labeled as that I have to bring it up.
We need to keep our 18th century period piece horror slasher flicks segregated.
From Hell? Are you talking about From Hell? That's the only one I could think that fits what you just said.
I was just kind of like pulling adjectives that I thought.
Putting words together.
But
well, I guess that'd be 19th century, but close enough.
From Hell's a pretty good movie.
From Hell is a good movie.
I like that movie.
If you had said 17th century, we could have been talking about The Witch.
I haven't watched that one yet.
Oh, God, man. Okay. That's
right now.
Yeah, no, we are. That's okay. Regardless, Parasite, it's phenomenal. Bong Joon-ho is a master of this type of movie. It rightfully won Best Picture in 2019, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to say about it. You got to go check it out. It's a movie unlike anything I've really ever seen. It's phenomenal.
Really, really hard to categorize this movie. I mean, I get why people have called it horror, but at the same time, I fully agree with you that it's not necessarily, it's got a thriller edge to it. It's not even fully thriller at that. Like,
right.
It's just got a slight edge to it. and in very key parts of the movie. But it's a ride, and it is such a good film. I think
the social commentary aspect as well.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and people always like it is. Here was the other thing is when it came out, there was a lot of talk about the staggering wealth inequality in South Korea.
Yeah.
And how this, you know, was trying to bring a lot of that to light and make people talk about it. And man, this movie could have very easily been made here as well.
For sure.
Like that, this, it translates over really well to pretty much any capitalist society, I think.
Yeah.
It's really is a masterwork. I think everybody needs to see it.
I 100% agree. Again, it's streaming on Hulu. Go check this out as soon as possible. It's a fantastic movie.
Definitely. Let's move on. David, what you got?
Answer. Well, for my spoopy pick this week, I wanted to break away. I feel like we've been a little zombie heavy. That's not bad, but I wanted something, a different kind of monster. So I went with 30 Days of Night. Is on Peacock right now. I watch it on Peacock or Tubi. Damn it, I can't remember.
Tubi.
I know it was on Peacock.
And Peacock. I think it's both, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess it's on both. I watched it on Tubi. Probably should have watched it on Peacock. Would have gotten fewer commercials. But either way, I'm not upset because this movie is great. Synopsis. Let's see. In the far northern hemisphere, the small town of Barrow, Alaska, experiences a solid month of darkness every year. Though most of the residents head south for the winter, some townspeople remain behind. However, those that stay regret their decision when, this year, hungry vampires descend on Barrow to feed. Sheriff Eben, his wife, and a dwindling band of survivors must try to last until dawn breaks over Barrow's month-long twilight. These vampires don't sparkle. They are all the time drenched in blood. They are fucking brutal, and they are going to drink your fucking blood out through your asshole. These guys, this is, ooh. Yeah, sexy. That's how they like it.
If I'm going to have my blood drank, that's where I want it from.
This like, was literally eat my ass.
This was a brutal comic book, and I can't say that I've read the comic book. I've read like excerpts from it just to sort of get a taste for the art style and stuff like that, but I probably should pick up the comic. I am into those as well, but
you would love it. Yeah.
How does the movie compare to the comic story-wise, Spence?
It's been a long while since I've read it, so I don't want to say something and then be completely wrong because I don't remember all that well. I've seen the movie probably 3 or 4 times since I read the comic, so I don't
know.
Anyway,
I love the movie. I think it's a great movie. I think it's a really fucking brutal movie. I think it's got a few of some great stand-up actors. Ben Foster making a good appearance here. One of my favorites for sure. And I didn't even realize Manu Bennett was in this. I became familiar with him when I was watching Arrow. Of course, he played a Deathstroke. Yeah. Anyway,
when you were thinking about that, you looked like you were having a death stroke.
No such luck, my friend. What do you guys think of this? Also, I wanted to say something about the color palette, the way that the scenes were shot. I mean, obviously, you're not going to nail that particular art style when you translate it over to live action, because their art style is very chaotic. It's very dark and not quite like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, but not dissimilar. And so like them washing out the color palette and their use of color and shots, I thought they did a pretty good job of translating that over.
I thought it looked great. That kind of like, yeah, like you said, wash out the color, make it almost black and white with, you know, some blues, like some dark blues and grays and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And violent. I thought it looked great. It did remind me. It really is night where you can still see stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's the best way to do it instead of make your whole movie dark so you can cheap out on special effects.
Are you being passive aggressive at me right now?
A little bit, because you picked that dumb movie a few weeks ago. Anyway, go on. I loved this movie as well.
That's pretty much. That's kind of what I got to say about it. What?
All right. I don't know. I was just gonna move on.
Watch it.
Sam Raimi produced it.
Yeah.
Did Sam Raimi produce this?
I think so.
I didn't even know.
He just said it, which means he's probably looking at it.
Hey, look at that! It is Sam Raimi.
Unless he was just like, "Oh, Sam Raimi produced it," and he just like said that out of nowhere because he wanted to be a part of the conversation.
just saying something.
Did you guys know this was a Mel Brooks movie?
Oh God! Speaking of that, we got to go off real quick. They're making History of the World Part 2, boys. Do you see that post I sent?
I did see it. Yes.
I am so fucking stoked.
As long as Mel Brooks wrote it or whatever, I'm in.
Yeah, he's working with them. Like, and I'm happy with the team they're putting together. Nick Kroll, Wanda Sykes. It looks really good.
For sure. Well, anyway, check out 30 Days of Night. It's currently streaming on Peacock and Tubi. With that, we're going to move on to our second round of picks of the night. My first recommendation this week, good God, I'm tired, guys. Second recommendation this evening is the Netflix original sci-fi series, Another Life. Another Life focuses on astronaut Nico Breckenridge, who is searching the world for alien intelligence. She leads a crew that's on a mission to explore the genesis of an alien artifact that has been found on Earth. As she and her young crew investigate, they face unimaginable dangers on what may end up being a one-way mission. So basically, this giant alien artifact lands on Earth, and nothing happens. It just kind of sits there. And the world needs to know what it is. So they send these astronauts on an interstellar mission to try to find the source to make contact with the alien race who sent it. And a lot of stuff goes wrong. There's two seasons. The second season just came out last month, I believe. This is one I've been waiting for a long time because the first season came out in 2019. And then with COVID and everything, and it wasn't getting great reviews. So I was a little wary that they weren't going to have a second season at all.
Netflix,
but we got
loves it. Chopping the block off these ones that don't get like tip top reviews too.
They do. And thankfully, this one got a second season because personally, I loved it. Starring Katie Sackhoff of Battlestar Galactica fame, now the Mandalorian also fame.
Bo-Katan, yeah.
Yep. And there's actually a few different people from Battlestar, a few Battlestar alums make appearances. Selma Blair is in it. I think those are the biggest names, probably. Anyway, it's a great little sci-fi show. I enjoyed it a lot. That being said, it's got terrible, terrible critic reviews. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it has a 6% critic review on Rotten Tomato and a 72% audience score.
That's a huge discrepancy. I don't get where they're getting that 6. I will say the CGI is terrible. Like,
it's not great.
They do a really, really bad job. And I don't know why. Netflix has always been really on top of their animation and CGI. So I don't know. That caught me off guard. But other than that, I'm loving the story. I'm loving the characters. I'm a couple episodes in and I think it's pretty damn good. I can get over CGI stuff. Like I've watched some terrible CGI with really.
When you go back and watch something like Battlestar or Firefly, you're like, wow, it wasn't great back then.
No,
but this one was made in 2019.
Firefly.
It had some CGI that was a little questionable. Let's be fair.
Everything about Firefly is perfect.
Does some pretty good CGI for what they're doing working with in the time too.
Listen, it wasn't bad. It's just that this feels like it was from 2004 instead of 2019.
Definitely, I agree. Katie Sackhoff is just so at home in this role. It feels almost like older Starbuck. Like she does very well with it, and I love her in roles like this. So I'm excited to watch more. I think this is a cool show.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. It's nice to have a straight up sci-fi series that I can binge my way through because sometimes it's few and far between. I don't know.
Right.
It feels like sci-fi doesn't get quite the love that some other genres get, especially in serial format like this.
Well, and like I said, Netflix loves to pull the plug on stuff. And, you know, they gave us Altered Carbon, which had a remarkable first season. And then the second season fell off and then they're just like, nope, no more of that. Nope. That was my bingeable sci-fi right there. So Like this is in a much different direction, but I'm digging the early on story. I think they went a little hard on the asshole characters from the start, but you know, you got to start somewhere.
Right. Yeah, it's just fun. A lot of it takes place, like I said, in the ship. Things keep going wrong. It's some very tense moments if you're into that sort of thing. So I don't know. Check it out. It's Another Life, 2 seasons. It's on Netflix. Let's move on. Keith.
All right. My next pick is also on Netflix. It is called The Long Dumb Road. The Long Dumb Road is a short, dumb movie. And it's like a buddy road trip movie. And it's not like quite up to par with things like Euro Trip or Road Trip. But I gotta say, I had a lot of fun watching it. And where the plot kind of loses itself maybe halfway through, it's made up for by the exceptional chemistry between the two actors and main characters, Jason Matsunakis and Tony Revolori. I don't know how to say his last
Revolori.
Name.
I would say that's what it is.
Well, it follows Nat, aspiring photographer. He's on his way towards Los Angeles to go to art school. He's traveling in a little minivan and he's stopping and taking pictures of what he considers to be like the true America on the way, trying to build a bit of a portfolio. He's grown up in a upper mid-class Texas family and meets the same character that Jason Matsunakis always plays, but God, he does it so well. It's that lovable psycho, like that endearing, psychotic, manic, crazy person. And I just love it. He meets him and it just wild things happen. And like I said, it's not the best movie ever, but I just had a lot of fun watching it. This is one that we watched on our travels. We had it downloaded and watched it on the airplane or something like that. And it was a good time filler. It's not going to win any awards or anything like that, but it was a nice little short movie to sit down and watch.
This movie felt reminiscent to me of, I'm not even going to try to drop the name because nobody will have ever heard of it. It is a movie that takes its time. It has no point, and that is the point.
Yeah.
It is a slice of life movie. The plot does not advance. Nothing changes. Nothing happens. And that's okay.
Yeah.
This entire movie is little vignettes. It's stopping to smell the flowers. It's a bit of a... the only thing that really evolves, like you said, is the relationship between these two main characters who meet on the road. And I loved it because of that.
Yeah.
You know, it is introspective. It's a little bit philosophical. And it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. It's reminiscent of like some of Jody Hill's work, you know, the Foot Fist Way and stuff like that, where it there's no point. There's nothing really to take out of it. Like you said, it's a little philosophical, but it's not a deep dive or anything like that. It's just a fun little slice, fun little movie.
Well, it felt like a Jim Jarmusch movie to me. Again, that's a bit more niche, but that's what it was. It's slice of life and it was just fun.
What do you think, David?
It was good. I liked seeing Albuquerque shots, of course. There was a lot of them too. Yeah, it was just mostly filmed here. I don't know if they actually went to other locations in the state, but yeah, Mystic was like, "Hey, I know that place. Hey, I know that place." That's of course not a reason to like a movie, but if you're from Albuquerque, it's a nice little hey. I thought Jason Mantzoukas was a great character, a bit on the giant asshole side, so I get why everyone seems to hate him in this movie. And with it being a slice of life kind of approach to a movie, there's not a lot of character growth and, like you said, and resolution. It's just one of those things like, yeah, I watched that. Not a bad movie, but if you are, I don't know.
That was one of the reasons I liked it, frankly.
Yeah.
It was very different from you know, a standard three-act
type of comedy.
Right. You know, here's the, yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
This is done by a woman named Hannah Fidel, and I'm going to keep an eye on her. This is only her third film, and I'm kind of interested to see where else she goes. I think she could have a promising director career.
Yeah, I'm looking through her filmography here, and I can't place any of them. So
me neither.
I'll have to go back and see if I can find some of them. Right on. It was a good movie. Check it out. It's The Long Dumb Road. It's currently streaming on Netflix. David, take us home.
Spencer Brown. All right. My last pick this week. I got a kind of a random hair up my ass to watch this show. I was a bit young to watch it when it was on air, but I've seen clips and pieces all over the place. This is going to be Todd McFarlane's Spawn, the series on HBO. Against a backdrop of a war between heaven and hell, a mysterious being uses his dark powers against the forces of evil. That is a really terrible synopsis, Google. Thank you. This is the comic book created by Todd McFarlane, explosively violent, pissing off the conservative Christians with its story of heaven, the forces of heaven battling the forces of hell. It is exceptionally brutal. It's about blanking on the character's name here.
Al Simmons.
That, thank you. It was like you like knocked it in place. Keith David plays Al Simmons. One, Keith David, one of my favorite actors of all goddamn time. Two, Al Simmons, one of the most badass characters of all time. This dude's like Army Special Ops, he does a lot of black ops, a lot of really highly classified, highly skilled things. And because of it, when he dies, he goes to hell. And he makes a deal with the devil to be conscripted into the devil's army. And so memory wiped and tossed back onto Earth with a superpowered suit, he's left to sort of sift through his shattered past and come to terms with his new life and his wife's new life with his ex-best friend. Anyway, this is a great, great show. It's some nice, solid 90s animation. It is some exceptional voice acting. There is it's HBO, so it's heavy on the animated nudity. If you're into that, I am.
Oh, I am into that.
Yeah, there's gratuitous violence, nudity, swearing, everything that a cartoon wasn't when this cartoon was made.
Yeah.
It was really pushing the boundaries, which Todd McFarlane loves to do. And Spawn is a great story. Like you said, it pissed off a lot of Christians, not because of the heaven and hell story, but because your main character is being recruited as a general of hell. This isn't no Preacher story. This isn't Constantine, where you're kind of a broken character that's trying to work your way into heaven. No, you're just a dude that went to hell. And
maybe some of the conservative Christian upset was also because the lead character was.
Yeah, that had something to do with it as well. man, this is a good cartoon, though. I really enjoy this. Watch this over the movie any day. Movie holds a very special place in my heart with nostalgia and everything like that. But this is the better Spawn story. It's a lot more complete. There's a lot more going on. And it holds up. It's great 90s animation, which I've always had a thing for. I think it looks good. I think it flows well. The voice acting was phenomenal, like you said. It's sinister and it's a good show.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoy the movie. I'll probably stick that one in my back pocket for a pick for another day, but
yeah, I'm not saying I hate the movie, but this is the better Spawn story.
This is absolutely the better Spawn story. Hopefully with this new, Spawn reboot that they are moving forward with, I guess Jamie Foxx has signed on to be, Al Simmons.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it. I really want to see more Spawn. He is a deeply complex hero character, and I love to see that.
Yeah, it's great. I agree.
Right on. So check it out. It's Spawn, the animated series on HBO Max. I think that's it, guys. What else? Do we have anything else we're talking about? Any bonuses this week? I don't have anything. I'm going to tease a bonus every episode and then be like, nope, just kidding. We don't have anything for you.
We should just leave a cliffhanger right here at the end. Like, all right, our bonus.
And then cut to outro.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that to our adoring fans. Well, check us out. Come join our Discord server. Talk to us about some movies. Halloween movies, I guess. It's Halloween soon, so that's fun. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. We have a website. It's 3guys1up.com. You can find a link to all of our past recommendations. You can also find a link to our Patreon. Click that link. Give us $5 a month, and we'll love you forever. With that, good night, everybody. We'll be here next week with a very special Halloween episode.